Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Balaba Didivana Dari. Gopi Jana Balaba Didivana Dari. Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Nanjana. Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Nanjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balaba Didivana Dari. Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Nanjana. Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Nanjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudiraye nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavate uttama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22nd, Verse Number 4. Please repeat after me. Ato hya anyonyam atmanam Brahma Shatram Charakshataha Rakshati Smavya Yodevaha Sayaha Sad Asad Atmakaha Ato Hyanyonam Atmanam Brahma Shatram Charakshataha रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवः साया सद् असदात्मकः अतो ह्यान्योन्यमात्मानं ब्रह्मशत्रं च रक्षतः रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवः साया सद् असदात्मकः अतो ह्यान्योन्यमात्मानं ब्रह्मशत्रं च रक्षतः क्षति स्म व्ययो देवः अतो ह्यान्योन्यमात्मानं ब्रह्मशत्रं च रक्षतः रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवः साया सद् असदात्मकः मदर्स् अतो ह्यान्योन्यमात्मानं ब्रह्मशत्रं च रक्षतः रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवः साया सद् असदात्मकः अतो ह्यान्योन्यमात्मानं ब्रह्मशत्रं च रक्षतः रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवः साया सद् असदात्मका मदर्स् अतो ह्यान्योन्यमात्मानं ब्रह्मशत्रं च रक्षतः रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवः स य सद् असदात्मकः अतो ह्यान्योन्यमात्मानं ब्रह्मशत्रं च रक्षतः रक्षति स्म व्ययो देवः स य सद् असदात्मकः अतः हेन्स् हि सर्टन्लि अन्योन्यम् ईच् अदर् आत्मानं द सेल्फ् ब्रह्म द ब्राह्मणस् क्षत्रं द क्षत्रियास् च एण्ड् रक्षतः प्रोटेक्ट् रक्षति स्म प्रोटेक्ट्स् अव्ययः इम्यूटेबल् देवः द लॉर्ड् सः हि यः हु सत् असत् आत्मकः द फॉर्म ऑफ द कॉज एंड इफेक्ट ट्रांसलेशन सॉरी ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ट्रांसलेशन दैट इज वाई द ब्राह्मणास एंड क्षत्रियास प्रोटेक्ट ईच अदर एज वेल एज देमसेल्व्स एंड द लॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ हु इज बोथ द कॉज एंड इफेक्ट एंड इज येट इम्यूटेबल प्रोटेक्ट्स देम थ्रू ईच अदर पर्पट आई एम गोना रीड पार्ट ऑफ द पर्पट टुडे एंड देन द अदर पार्ट ऑफ द पर्पट विल बी टेकन केयर ऑफ बाय द स्पीकर टुमारो The entire social structure of Varna and Ashram is a cooperative system meant to uplift all to the highest platform of spiritual realization. The Brahmanas are intended to be protected by the Kshatriyas, and the Kshatriyas are also intended to be enlightened by the Brahmanas. When the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas cooperate nicely, the other subordinate divisions, the Vaishyas or mercantile people and the Shudras, or laborer class automatically flourish. The entire elaborate system of Vedic society was therefore based on the importance of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Lord is the real protector, but he is unattached to the affairs of protection. He creates Brahmanas for the protection of the Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas for the protection of the Brahmanas. He remains aloof from all activities. Therefore, he is called Nirvikar, without activity. He has nothing to do. He is so great that he does not perform action personally, but his energies act. The Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and anything that we see are different energies acting upon one another. Although individual souls are all different, the super self or super soul is the supreme personality of Godhead. Individually, one self may differ from others in certain qualities and may engage in different activities, such as those of a Brahman, Kshatriya, or Vaishya. But when there is complete cooperation among different individual souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul, Paramatma, being one in every individual soul, is pleased and gives them all protection. As stated before, the Brahmanas are produced from the mouth of the Lord, and the Kshatriyas are produced from the chest or arms of the Lord. If the different castes or social sections, although apparently differently occupied in different activities, nevertheless act in full cooperation, then the Lord is pleased. This is the idea of the institution of four Varnas and four Ashramas. If the members of different Ashramas and Varnas cooperate fully in Krishna consciousness, then society is well protected by the Lord without doubt. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. First of all, I offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When he was traveling on the Jaladuta, he was not only carrying the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he was carrying the entire culture of Varnashram with him. So when he traveled, he brought the seeds of so many things with him along the Jaladuta, enduring his journey, so that he can come to the Western world and plant those seeds. I also remember, as Mother Mukhya said, His Grace Ranjit Prabhu, His Holiness Badrinarayan Maharaj, for capturing those seeds at a very early age, and then helping Srila Prabhupada in spreading those seeds in wherever they went, in whatever services they did, and now they have reunited back with Srila Prabhupada in continuing those services. I also offer my respectful obeisances to my gurus, my teachers, who always inspire me, encourage me to serve the Srimad Bhagavatam, to serve the Vaishnavas by purifying myself in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. These classes, I've said previously, are mostly for my own purification, because I get to dive deeper in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So anything good that comes out today is because of the mercy of the gurus, and any imperfections are my own as I'm trying to purify myself. And my heartfelt gratitude to the leadership of New Raman Reti. This community inspires me every single day by logging onto the YouTube, by seeing the devotees engaged in various services. I see Varnashram thriving in this very community by the example that all of you have set. So thank you very much. Today also happens to be Amalaki Ekadashi, and my goal for today is to understand what this verse is saying and then connect it with Ekadashi, with the idea of what a cooperative Varnashram society looks like, because the Ekadashi story for today is quite pertinent in that. So before I get started with the verse, I want to take a few steps away from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from this culture that the verse is expressing, and just seeing what's happening in the world right now. We have a situation right now globally in the world where, globally in the world, that's a funny phrase, globally, where there are active wars that are happening. They've always happened. However, right now, the whole world is in a situation where, as we read news, as we read articles, we are seeing that this aggression is happening, that aggression is happening. As of this morning, Pakistan and Afghanistan have gone to war with each other, with bombings on both places, on the other side of the border. So we have a situation where there is active wars taking place. And then we have wealthiest individuals on the planet who are not elected by anyone, who are not accountable to any dharmic authority. They're shaping education policy, media narratives, healthcare systems, and even space exploration. There's an active case ongoing in the US right now with an individual whose network was spawning across governments, and then people are finding out that there was abuse happening in the garb of that. There was narratives being shaped. There's no moral authority in these things. There's no spiritual vision. It's only through the sheer force of accumulated wealth. Universities that were supposed to be Brahmana, functioning of the society, places of truth-seeking, knowledge, and moral guidance, they are now funded by corporate interests. When I went to school 10 years ago, when I was beginning my PhD program, I dropped out of it. I was told to research only those things where I could get funding. Otherwise, the research was not supported. So the research agendas are not shaped by what is truth, but what is profitable. Media organizations that we have that are supposed to inform and educate are owned by conglomerates whose primary concern is advertising revenue so that people can be hooked to the media, to social media, so that they can consume more content, and through that they see advertisements through which they generate data. And these marketing agencies can bombard. There's a reason why Google, Facebook, these massive services are free, because we are the ones who are the product. We are being cultivated through the advertisements. So even religious institutions we see today face pressure to align their messaging with whoever funds them. And the government leaders, who are supposed to be Kshatriya, the protectors, are funded by the very people they are supposed to regulate. So the protector becomes the servant of the merchant. And the mouth of the society speaks what the wallet dictates. Now, why am I bringing this up? Remarkably, Kardama Muni warns Manu just a few verses before this in 3:21:55. Prabhu, if you want to bring up that verse, 3:21:55, this is the exact warning that Kardama Muni gave that we are witnessing today. So in 3:21:55, let's wait for it. I want you to see what Kardama Muni says. Okay, in the translation, Kardama Muni says to Manu, if you gave up all thought of the world's situation, unrighteousness would flourish. For men who hanker only after money would be unopposed. Such miscreants would attack and the world would perish. Did you catch that? Kardama Muni says, men who hanker only after money would be unopposed. In other terms, this is called as a plutocracy, where the wealthy decides who to fund, what to run, and we are witnessing the rule by the wealthy today when we are seeing massive donations being funneled to political parties by the billionaires, and it's the government, not of the people, for the people, by the people, of the billionaires, by the billionaires, for the billionaires, so their agendas could run. So the idea being, when the protector stops protecting, the profiteer takes over. And Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse, he says that because the scientific division of the four varnas and four ashramas is now being extinguished, the entire world is being governed by unwanted men, who have no training in religion, politics, or social order. And it is in a very deplorable condition. So the Bhagavatam does not just describe a grim reality. The beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is that it also gives a cure. And the verse that we are reading today kind of points us in that direction. But the key point number one that I want everyone to remember from this, and I want myself to remember from this, is that Kardama's warning that when duty is abandoned, those who hanker only after money go unopposed, and then the world perishes. Now let's come back to our verse. So that's the setup. So this is a chain of conversation that is happening, right? The verse that we are reading, who speaks this verse? Manu. Swayambhuva Manu speaks the verse. And who's the listener? Kardama Muni. And in the broader sense, who's speaking this verse? What conversation is happening? Vidura and Maitreya, right? So Vidura, so we read the extraordinary pastimes of Lord Varahadev, right? The Lord appears as a boar to rescue the earth. Vidura feels inspired and he says, I want to know how the Lord arranges his creation. So that's the broader context of the verse, within which then Maitreya responds that Brahma creates various beings. Brahma creates many inauspicious beings. Brahma leaves his body. There's the whole sequence of his prayers to the Lord. The Lord says, give up your body. And then with great effort and with great joy in his heart, he creates the sages and the manus. And so from his mind, these great sages come. From his body emerges these social orders. And so then Vidura asks, what happens to Swayambhuva Manu? He was the emperor of the world at that time. And what happens to his sons, Priyavrat and Uttanapad? In that conversation, Maitreya says that, let me tell you about his daughter, Devahuti, and who she marries, right? His daughter from Manu and Satarupa was Devahuti. And he says that the Lord has already arranged for this marriage. Kardama prayed for a suitable wife and the Lord orchestrated the union. So in this immediate verse, Kardama is awaiting Manu, who is the emperor of the universe at that time. He's appearing. And they are conversing. And one of the first things, when we just think about it, here's a sage with matted head. It is described in the Bhagavatam that although he was wearing rags after tapasya, he was not looking unpolished. That's the word Bhagavatam uses. So when Swayambhuva Manu sees him, he recognizes the sage. And then the sage sees the emperor. And one of the first things that they talk about is the glorification of the Varnashrama system. They glorify that, look at how beautiful this Varnashram system is set up, that I am a sage and you are the emperor and we are interacting. And through our interaction, something happens. So the most powerful man in the world, Swayambhuva Manu was the most powerful man in the world, is approaching a forest-dwelling ascetic, not with commands, unlike today, which is somebody would command attention, but with humility and philosophical reasoning. So this conversation is the articulation of the Varnashrama system that happens here. And Prabhupada writes in the previous purports to this verse is that the Brahmanas come from Brahma's face, which in turn comes from the Lord's mouth, right? So the mouth does two things. What are the two things that the mouth does? Yeah, things come out and things go in, right? So what goes in is prasad. So it is said that by feeding the Brahmanas, we feed the Lord because it comes out of the Brahmanas are the mouth of the Lord. And things come out, which is the katha, which is the verses, which is the narration. So the Brahmanas actually glorify the Lord, they speak the Vedic truth, and then they accept what is necessary as prasad, averse to sense gratification, right? And then this verse begins with the word ataha, which means therefore. That means that some context is established in the verses before, and then this verse is saying ataha, therefore. So now let's look at word by word for this verse, because I found it very fascinating. The Bhagavatam does that magic. When I read the Bhagavatam, and even acharyas have said that the Bhagavatam on the cursory reading, yeah, I'm aware of that. Yeah, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does something. But when we start digging into the Srimad Bhagavatam, then more things comes out. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Leela, he says, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashraya Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakoy. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave 61 explanations of which verse? Of the Atmaram verse. Then he says that Krishna Tulya Bhagavat. This Bhagavat is Krishna Tulya. Means this Bhagavatam is equivalent to Krishna. Vibhu. That means it is great. It is all encompassing. It is everything as opposed to Anu. Sarvashraya. It gives shelter to everyone. Prati Shloke. Every verse. Prati Akshare. Every syllable. Nana Arthakoy. There are many, many meanings of each word. So now let's start to dive in into this verse, right? So the verse begins with Ataha, therefore. So in the prior verses, before this verse, it is established that the Kshatriyas are appearing from the arms to protect the society. The Brahmanas are appearing from the face of Brahma, the mouth of the Lord, and they're also described as the heart. So it is saying that therefore, now that the Kshatriyas have existed, the Brahmanas have existed, now let us examine the conclusion based on this context that we have set up. That the Brahmanas are coming from the face, Kshatriyas from the arms. What does the verse say next? Anyonyam Atmanam. That means mutually and themselves. Right? It's like what is that phrase in English? Where a word means the opposite of it? Oxymoron, yes. Anyonyam Atmanam, which means it's mutually and themselves. So what does this mean? It's fascinating. Anyonyam means each other. Atmanam means themselves, the self. So what this verse is saying is that protection of each other is equal to protection of the self. Mutual protection is self-protection. So when a Brahmana protects a Kshatriya's spiritual welfare, he is protecting his own ability to function. And when a Kshatriya protects a Brahmana physically, he is protecting his own source of guidance. They cannot be separated. It's cooperative. What does the next line say? Brahma Kshatram cha Rakshataha. The Brahminical and royal orders protect. Right? So Brahma here refers to the Brahminical order. Kshatram refers to the royal order. That means that the dual ending emphasizes that it's a two-way nature of protection. Rakshati isma avyayaha devaha. And then it says, the immutable Lord protects. So through this protection, what's actually happening? The Lord is protecting. That means that the rakshati isma means it's continuous eternal protection. It does not mean protection once. It means that the Lord's system of protection, when Krishna says, I protect, one of the ways is described. One of the ways is he comes directly. But one of the ways, major ways he protects is through his system of Varnashrama. So the Lord protects. And it's his protections does not expire. It says avyayaha, right? It's without deterioration. Inexhaustible protection is offered by the Lord through the system of Varnashrama. It doesn't fluctuate. Devaha. And the last line says, sa yaha sad asad atmakaha. Very interesting phraseology again by Manu. He who is the soul of both cause and effect. So it is saying that the Lord is the cause, the Lord is also the effect, and the Lord is also unchangeable. That means that he causes things to happen, he is also the effect of things happening, and yet he remains unchanged throughout that whole process. So he creates a system, he offers protection through that system, and he is unchanged by that system. So what are the main takeaways? Mutual protection is self-protection. We cannot protect ourselves alone. We need a social structure. And that social structure that is given by the Lord is his protection to us. When the system is so damaged and demolished, then the Lord personally appears. Until that time, the system is given to protect. That's why Srila Prabhupada was so adamant about establishing Varnashrama system. And I'll give you one more example, one more reason. And Prabhupada has used a word in one of the purports that I've never seen anywhere else. If anyone finds a reference to that, I'd be so happy to see. The second thing we learn from this is that the Lord protects through the system, not apart from it. So isolation is not independence. Actually, it's vulnerability. That's why we remain in the bounds of the Varnashrama system and we establish that system for the protection of the constituents. And the Lord remains immutable, right? His divine delegation is most profound. Okay. So Prabhupada begins this purport by saying that the entire social structure of Varna and Ashrama is a cooperative system meant to uplift all to the highest platform of spiritual realization. He's not saying competitive system. He's saying it's a cooperative system. So he's reaffirming what the verse is describing. And then he's saying that the Varnashrama is not just meant for creating a social structure that uplifts, that governs. What is he saying? It's meant to elevate to the highest platform of spiritual realization. So if every part that exists within the system does their role, they uplift everyone to the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. The Shastras describe this as the body of the Lord. The Brahmanas are considered as the head. The Kshatriyas are considered as the arms and the chest. The Vaishyas are considered as the stomach, as the belly, as the digestive mechanism. And then the Shudras are considered as the feet of the Lord. So, right, this is the Purusha Sukta vision from Rig Veda. So when the Rig Veda describes this, it does not describe a hierarchy. Sometimes it is understood in terms of who can approach the Lord and what's the qualification, and there is a hierarchy. But the way Rig Veda describes it is a cooperative spirit of these functions, that they are working together organically to serve the Supreme, right? When Krishna himself says, Chatur Varnya Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that it's a cultural, it's a divine architecture that Krishna is providing to us, through which the beings of the system can come to the spiritual platform. Now, Prabhupada writes in 3.21.56, right? 3.21.56 in the purport, Prabhupada writes that formerly it was customary that the sages used to go to the kings and the kings used to visit the sages in their hermitages. Unlike today, where the kings call the sages to do their bidding, or they neglect the sages and they are governed by the Vaishya class who gives them money, and then behind the money they go. But Prabhupada is saying that it was customary for the sages and kings to go back to each other, and each was glad to fulfill the other's purpose in the spirit of humility. And he calls this reciprocal relationship, he uses the term bhakti karya. Prabhupada says in purport to 3.21.56, he says that this reciprocal relationship is bhakti karya. Now, what does bhakti karya mean? Bhakti, we all know, right? It comes from the word bhaj, which means to serve the Supreme with love, with share, to participate in the activities of the divine. Karya in Sanskrit means duty, means activity, means work. So Prabhupada is saying that the reciprocal relationship between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas is actually divine work. It's actually a work of bhakti. He's not distinguishing it from devotional service or devotional activity. Very interesting use of word. I've never seen, the only other place bhakti karya comes is in the appearance of Lord Advaita Acharya. In that verse, these two words come together. I have not found anywhere else that Advaita Acharya also appears for bhakti karya, for establishing devotional service. So when a Brahmana guides a Kshatriya spiritually, it's not just teaching, it's seva. It's devotional service that is happening. So therefore, Varnashrama is not a social system. It's a devotional system. It's a cooperation between the orders as an offering to Krishna. And when the system works, it's like a collective yajna that happens, and a sacrifice of the entire social structure performing together to serve the divine. Right? And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam says, Ataha Pumbhir Dvija Sreshtha Varnashram Vibhagashah Swanutishthasya Dharmasya. What's the last verse? Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. That when this Varnashrama system, Vibhagashah, when it works perfectly in order, what's the ultimate goal of it? Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. The highest perfection of Varnashram is Hari Toshanam, pleasing the Lord Hari. So just by focusing on Varnashrama and establishing it the way it is meant to be established, when every order is functioning correctly, we are naturally engaged in the process of devotional service, because the system is meant to serve the Supreme, to serve the Divine. That's the idea of the offering. So this symbiotic relationship that exists between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas is bhakti karya. And that's why, shout out to Mother Urmila for her work on Career Dharma. If you have not read the book, it's an incredible book. A lot of people are receiving coaching from her. And the idea being to establish oneself into understanding what is my dharma, what is my varna, and what is my prosperity type, and then how do I engage. So please check out her work. It's a really powerful work. So the other thing that Prabhupada writes here in the purport is that the Brahmanas are considered as the head. Now, And the kshatriyas are the arms. Now, what happens when the arms go crazy? Let's say the arms are either cut off, crippled, or paralyzed. Can the body still function? It can still function, right? It can still function. There are challenges, the body can function. But when the head goes crazy, then what happens? Can the body function? So that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. He says in the purport that the entire elaborate system gets lost. It gets lost. When the engine fails, the car does not move. The car does not drive forward. So it's important for the protection of the brahmanas, because they govern the authority, the moral and scriptural authority of a society. That's why when Krishna appears, what does he appear for? Go brahmana hitaya cha. Right? Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Nama. So Krishna says that he appears and he prioritizes the protection of the brahmanas and the cows, because the cows are necessary for the survival of the brahmanas. And he prioritizes their protection over the protection of others, because when that is protected, the society can still function with crippled arms, crippled legs, but the head is in the right space. So it's very important for a social structure. If we see this peril in the society today of what's happening, it's extremely important and necessary for us as the institution of ISKCON to produce these brahmanas who can guide the society. Doesn't matter male body, female body, but we produce these brahmanas, including even children can be brahmanas, who provide this moral authority to the world, who provide scriptural authority to the world. It's almost important for us. That's why Prabhupada established book distribution as a prime service, to give out scriptural authority to folks who can read. That's why he encouraged all his disciples to be preachers, to be gurus, to be teachers, to go out and to spread the word, to spread the Brahminical culture, and to morally guide the society. And it's equally important for every single one of us sitting here to play our part. A friend of mine talks about that this world we are getting into, everyone is eventually getting addicted to the phones and social media. It's bound to happen. It's created that way. So what is the moral authority, moral obligation for us as devotees who have the Brahminical culture presented by the great hardship of Srila Prabhupada? The amount of effort he went through to give us this culture is immeasurable. We can't measure Prabhupada's effort, the amount of energy, effort, writings he spent. So what is the moral authority for us? It is to propagate. And we can do it in many ways. A lot of people feel that I can't do book distribution, I feel afraid. Then be a creator. So my friend talks about, he's a big creator in India. And his idea being that we are all moving towards a creator economy. That means that everyone is creating content and consuming content. We are seeing there's a huge social media addiction trial that is happening right now, that is going on right now, every day. You can search about it and follow it up. So social media and its addictive aspects will remain. What's important for us is to participate in that dialogue through the lens of the Bhagavad, to create spiritual content, to provide such content to the world that people can understand that there is an alternative way of being, alternative way of living. So I encourage everyone and myself to start your own podcasts, write your own blogs, talk to people, send messages to your friends, whatever, create your videos, whatever is needed. This is the direction the world is moving. If we can all be creators, then that would be our little effort, like the little squirrels putting little pebbles to build the bridge for Lord Ramachandra. We put little pebbles and little effort in that way. Nobody, everyone's voice matters. And so how can we use our voice in whatever way possible to support? Because we establish the head in its righteous place. And once the head is established, then the society can move in the right direction. And that's a major contribution us, by following this culture of Varnashrama, by following Srila Prabhupada, can offer. Okay. Now the other thing this verse does, I'm going to come back to the verse, is that the brahmanas protect the kshatriyas protect the brahmanas, and they protect each other. So now let's look at some examples of the brahmanas protecting the kshatriyas. What's a good example from Shastra? Can anyone tell me that a brahmin protected a kshatriya? King Parikshit and, let's look at King Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami. King Parikshit was a Kshatriya, right? Almost perishing. And a Brahmana such as Shukadev Goswami appears and guides him and protects him and guides how then the entire Srimad Bhagavatam comes about from that. When Lord Ramachandra was young, Vasishtha Muni was the priest of the Raghu dynasty. And he guided Lord King Dasharath that send little Rama, send Lakshman to protect Vishwamitra's Yajna. So there were two things happening. The Kshatriyas, Ramachandra and Lakshmana, were protecting Vishwamitra's Yajna. And Vasishtha, guiding Dasharath, was protecting the whole Kshatriya clan towards dharmic service, that this is how you engage. So we have seen all these examples of mutual protection. Chanakya and Chandragupta Maurya, there's a Chanakya, some people read his books, Chanakya Niti. He's even mentioned in Vishnu Purana about Kautilya and how he will install Chandragupta. The idea being that Chanakya was a Brahmin guiding Chandragupta about his Kshatriya potential and brought him up. And we also see the failures of when one or the other doesn't listen. So when Vidura gave wise counsel to Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra did not listen. And we can see what happened to Dhritarashtra's clan, the Kuru dynasty perished. The whole Kshatriya dynasty perished because the words of a Brahmana were not being listened to. So we see how these reciprocal protection goes on. In our Shastra, countless examples are given that they protect each other. And how do they protect themselves? Bhagavatam describes, when Narada Muni is describing Varnashram and 7th canto, he says that the Brahmana, they protect themselves by their qualities, such as Sama, tranquility, Dama, self-control, Tapaha, austerity, Shocham, cleanliness, Santosham, satisfaction, Shanti, forgiveness, Arjavam, simplicity, Jnanam, knowledge, Daya, mercy, right? And Achyutam Atvatam, that means complete surrender to the Lord. So Brahmanas protect themselves by their qualities, which becomes their armor. And Kshatriyas also protect themselves through their qualities, right? Krishna says, 1843, Shauryam Tejo Dhritir Daksham Yuddhe Chapi Apalayanam Danam Ishvara Bhavascha Kshatram Karma Swabhavajam. That heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity and leadership are the qualities of Kshatriya. So these qualities protect the Kshatriya. So the idea being that the Brahmanas protect the Kshatriyas protect the Brahmanas, and they protect each other while the Lord remains nirvikar. The Lord is untouched. He creates this system, He creates the structure, and He remains untouched. I forgot which Acharya commented, but he comments on the idea of Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuga yuga. When Krishna is saying that I come to protect the Brahmanas and kill the miscreants. But he's saying I think it might be Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad. He says that actually the protection of the Brahmanas are happening through the Varnashram system. And the killing is also done by these great devotees of the Lord, the Kshatriyas. So why does the Lord truly come? What does he mean by Paritranaya Sadhuna? And he says that the Lord comes, Paritranaya, he comes to deliver the sadhus by giving opportunities for direct service, by devotional service, by offering bhakti. That's actually the real meaning that he says, that the Lord comes, that I'm going to deliver the sadhus. Why? Because the sadhus are in separation of me and hankering. And so I come so that they can complete their service and they can be delivered that way. So anyway, we see here the example that the system that the Lord has created naturally protects, offers protection for everyone. And Prabhupada writes that these are energies. Prabhupada says the Brahmin is an energy, the Kshatriya is an energy. So these are all energies working together. The Lord says these are all His separated energies from which the world gets created. And they are all working together and in a divine delegation at its most profound level. And the other thing this Prabhupada describes here is that there is cooperation between them. Even Srila Prabhupada said, your love for me would be tested by how much you cooperate after I leave. So that's the idea here of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. They have distinct nature. They are bound to have distinct nature. But what makes this system work is the cooperation between them. So when we see somebody of a different nature from us, the idea is how can we cooperate together in a way that we uplift and we establish this Varnashrama system between us. There will never be same natures. That's the whole idea of the Varnashram system. So by seeing ourselves in this community, in our own lives, seeing somebody with a different nature and identifying that how this different nature is important for contribution of the spiritual progress of the whole community, of the whole society. And that's the principle of Varnashram system. And when this does not happen, which is where I began my class, when the inversion happens, what goes wrong? Then the whole flow is inverted. The wealthy, the Vaishyas, when they go rogue, in terms of just managing resources, they start to get Ishwar Bhav, wanting to control, they start controlling the Kshatriya function. So if we see famous examples of societal and collapse, we see this, for instance, in India, the British East India Company came. A Vaishya organization, they got into the government and they wanted to rule. The result of it, trauma. The result of it was suffering, killing. Why? Because their nature is a Vaishya nature. The nature is to govern resources. That's how they started. But it led to the fall down of the whole British crown, the British Empire, non-existent. Similarly, in businesses, there is an example of a company called Enron. How many of you heard of Enron and their collapse back in the 90s? Enron was a huge organization, I think out of Houston. They hired some advisors from a company called Arthur Anderson, which was supposed to be auditors, which was a Brahminical nature, to guide them. However, Arthur Anderson noticed discrepancies in their accounts, in their books, and they continued with it. They disregarded their function and they let corruption perish. So much so that Enron went bankrupt. And it created a huge effect in the social order, in the commercial world. Same thing happened in the collapse in the 2007-2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed. Same thing happened when the Vaishyas tried to control the narrative of the government, and then the bonds were issued, the mortgage lending bonds were issued, and it started to collapse. So we see these collapses, Roman Empire, all these major civilizations. If we start looking into it, we'll find that the Varnashrama system, when it goes rogue, when one class is trying to do the activity of someone else, it starts this collapse of the society. So in the United States, in the world, we are seeing today that the government funded by billionaires, run by billionaires, that is the Vaishya class, governing the decision-making, the research, then the system is bound to get some shocks. It's bound to get some shocks. And that's why it's duty for us as devotees who understand the importance of this to establish it. So its protection is guaranteed if the parts cooperate. If the workers, if the Shudra class, if they are treated as disposable, they're hired and fired on quarterly earnings reports. The craftsmanship has, when it gets replaced by mass production, then that's what happens. When agriculture is replaced by factory farming, that's when we see that the Vaishyas are doing the work of Brahmins, but because they are wanting to expand their resources, that's their nature, instead of cow protection, they engage in factory farming. So we can see with our food, which was also supposed to be agriculture, but when the idea of expansion goes into it, we see food being sold in supermarkets. Anyway, it's a very fascinating study if we can see our entire social structure through this lens of how the Varnashram system gets neglected. So anyway, our conclusion today is when Prabhupada said in 1974 that I want every ISKCON center to have a Varnashram college, establish Varnashram there. This is what he meant, that we establish a system, we establish a way where we can uplift and bring everyone to the spiritual realization. And the last point, connection with Amlaki Ekadashi, which is today, the story of the Ekadashi describes a kingdom known as Vaidisha. And it's described that there was a king called Chitraratha, who was also called as Parshabinduka. And in this description, it's described how the Varnashrama existed there. So Brahmanda Puran describes the story of Amlaki Ekadashi. It says that all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras were equally endowed with Vedic knowledge, great bodily strength and fine intelligence. Not a single person in this kingdom attempted to practice another's dharma. They were so perfectly engaged in their all dharmas that the whole society lived together. And in that structure, in that system, we see the story that there was a hunter who comes. King Chitraratha is going to the worship of Lord Vishnu. They're worshipping underneath an amlaki tree, gooseberry, amla. They're doing the worship of the Lord there. And this hunter, who actually wasn't part of the system, he sees this. But because this Varnashram system was so beautifully working, he sees and he listens to the stories all night long being a hunter. And because of this grace, when he dies, he's born as a king in his next life. Because he inadvertently followed this Ekadashi that was happening. Why was this happening? Because of this accidental fast and because of the Varnashrama system working together to serve the Lord. Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. So he's born as Vasurath. And then he worships Lord Vishnu with devotion and great kingdom is. Again, there's many, many parts to this story. But the idea being that when the Varnashrama is followed, when the Lord is worshipped in that way, then we can see the impact of it. And obviously the impact of Ekadashi. And that's the conversation here. So Vaidisha, I thought, gives an example of this verse of cooperation and what does a good Varnashram society look like and how it can uplift even somebody as a hunter who inadvertently follows Ekadashi just by the culture of it. For instance, back in the day, I've heard stories of devotees. They would see someone, some hitchhiker. He would hitchhike with the devotees. And just by hearing kirtan, hearing kada, he ends up joining the temple. And so just when this culture is established and followed, even those who are unwilling or who are not interested in this work get automatically uplifted. So what might happen if a hunter gets transformed? What might happen if we participate consciously, willingly, with full hearts in this system of cooperation? So to conclude, we started with the idea that the world in crisis, which is Kardama Muni's verse, that people with money will be running rogue, governing the society, which we are seeing today. We heard why the system was designed in this way. The protection of the brahmanas is supremely important, right? They are created from the Lord's mouth to speak the truth and to accept prasad, the offering. Everything, all of these are energies of the Lord that needs to be working in a cooperative system, not a hierarchy, designed to uplift everyone to Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. The Brahmana Kshatriya cooperation Prabhupada describes is bhakti karya, right? It's called devotional work and offering. When the head goes crazy, everything starts falling in place. So it's our duty to uplift the head, to be a creator, to support in any way, making sure that our voice matters and expressing our voice in whatever way feels natural for us to every single one of us. The Lord protects through these energies, not directly. He comes directly when the system is completely demolished or to fulfill His own purposes. So He is the architect of this whole system. His energies do the work. He doesn't remain changed. He's pleased by this cooperation when that happens. If the parts cooperate, the society's protection is guaranteed. Even a hunter can be uplifted when Varnashrama is established properly. And it takes us, our responsibility to honor Srila Prabhupada by expressing His words and His teachings far and wide in as many unique voices as possible in this world so that we can continue everyone on the path of Varnashrama system. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, corrections, please.
Hare Krishna. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam explains that in Satya Yuga, the Varnashram system is absent because everyone is like Hamsa, swan-like. So there's no need for Varnashram system. But later on, in the later ages, Treta and Dwapara, it's prevalent. And then in Kali Yuga, because everyone is so degraded, low class, the Varnashram system becomes very difficult. And like, you know, Srila Prabhupada writes, I've seen in India how it became corrupted, you know. So Manu is, he'll be establishing the Varnashram system. He'll be writing the Labha, the Manu Samhita, which is the Dharma Shastra for Varnashram. But here, right away, we've seen that Manu is a Kshatriya, right, considered Kshatriya. And Kardama is a Brahmana. And he's going to give his Kshatriya daughter to a Brahmana, which is not really advised in the Varnashram system. So how can you explain this? What do you think of it?
That's Thank you. Yeah, your question is, Manu is a Kshatriya and Kardama is a Brahmana. And you're saying that Manu's daughter is a Kshatriya by that nature. Well, Krishna says that it's guna karma vibhagasya, not by birth. So it's a system by... So if we understand from that lens, then Manu's daughter's varna is not described by what her father is, by her own nature. So that way we can understand that it's not happening in that way. So that's how I would understand that it's not the idea of, you know, the caste being by birth does not apply in that case. That's how I would understand this, Prabhu. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu, please.
Thank you so much for stimulating class. It's so interesting how prolific Srila Prabhupada is, and I feel more drawn to read Bhagavatam and to take shelter of his words at these like most paramount of times. I really appreciate in the beginning how you kind of gave us an illustration of the powers that be. I think about that a lot, and that used to be called conspiracy theory. It's not, you know. And I just wanted to ask, based on those types of personalities at this point, you said like warheads, billionaires, and, you know, people that are other billionaires that can domain and do whatever they want. So I know you had said, and then I love the verse that you have brought up where it's like, these are unwanted people, atheistic. I would argue to say some of them run by doctrine, bogus doctrine as well, you know, and that's what makes them feel like they can do some of the things that they do. So this is my question I'm getting to is one thing that all those people who have the monopoly at this time I've seen have in common is they're highly intelligent and they have dangerous personality disorders. So to me, I've kind of seen that as like what needs to be battled. And in your talk, you talked about propagating more and kind of in a way feeding the machine, except with higher consciousness material. But I guess this, where this thought that I'm at right now is like, it seems to me more that this root cause is like how to protect our society from those types of people. Because even if we had a healthy Krishna conscious Varnashram perfect system, if you have a highly intelligent, narcissistic, psychopathic personality come into that healthy community, it's going to be chaos. So that's what the Shastras were supposed to do, right? Led by the intelligence of the Brahmanas. But it just seems like here we are back again. Is this all going to just keep going in a vicious cycle where we're unable to, you know, defend where we're unable to defend our purpose of glorifying and connecting with Krishna?
Thank you for your question. A society like that also has Kshatriyas. So it's not just that it's just Brahmins in the society. There's Kshatriyas who wear arms, who fight and who protect, and that's their role of protection. So it's not that everyone becomes a Brahmana, right? We do our work of propagating what Srila Prabhupada said. We depend on Krishna, which is also what Srila Prabhupada did, Lord Chaitanya did. That Srila Prabhupada would come alone in places and he would just start practicing Harinam, teaching Harinam and chanting. And obviously the Lord protects through doing the highest dharma. And we also need Kshatriyas in that nature who can fight and who can protect the society. So that's why, just like a temple needs security, we have somebody here for security. So similarly, that's the need, right? It's not that everyone is a Brahmana in that sense. The idea being that we understand the higher principle, and yet we act according to our nature. So that Kshatriya function protects the society and we depend on Krishna at the same time. Because we are doing our parts, we are doing our duty, we are establishing the Varnashrama system, and Krishna says that by that system, I offer protection. And if the protection does not come from that system, then Krishna himself appears and offers protection. So we always have that trust and faith. Avashya Rakshibe Krishna, right? It's one of the, it's from Srimad Bhagavat, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The six things favorable to devotional service, one of the things is to understand that Krishna is always my protector. Krishna will always offer his protection to us. Thank you for your question. Okay, thank you very much for participating. I hope you all have a wonderful Ekadashi today. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.